we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
What we do not do is spy unlawfully on Americans.
We are leaving in 2014, period. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse. In order to fight and defeat this enemy, it is necessary to wage a new all-out offensive.
You are listening to Biting the Bullet with Luke and Typo.
I'm recording.
We're recording. All right, welcome back to Biting the Bullet.
That's what's up, dude? Dude, it's going. Apparently, it's supposed to snow like here tomorrow.
Oh, really? I feel like we just talked to each other because we were on, what's it called, Tower Gang this week on Wednesday. Well, last week when you guys listened to this on Wednesday, we recorded with them. That was pretty fun.
Out now.
I had a good time.
Yeah, it was great.
I think it came out today, which is Friday, the day we're recording. But
yeah, it was just like high levels of autism and making retarded jokes. It was a great time. And, my kind of people.
Yeah, definitely. Like that shit was, it was really funny. The fucker duck, I was like, oh, I could see how this blows up in our face eventually one day, but whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, like it was funny too, because it was like LP Massachusetts people they were doing it for. And I was like, who are these people, dude? Like
these people are in charge of things.
Yeah, dude. That was the weirdest thing. I was like, dude, who are like all it was like, I don't know, some dude that looked like, I mean, we said it on their podcast, like, dude looks straight up like a pedophile. Like
Well, and it's like, well, like the other thing is like this, it was a perfect example of why voting doesn't work. How are these people in charge of anything?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the only one I knew was that whatever girl,
the chair.
The chair. That's who she
is. The prior chair, I guess. I don't even remember the fucking name.
And the only reason I know who that is just because she gets dragged through the ringer on Twitter all the time. That's how I know her.
Seems like deservedly, but dragged through the ringer. Absolutely. Yeah, that was fun. I had a good ass fucking time on there. And you guys should go listen to it because it was pretty funny. And it was the typical levels of autism that we normally have.
Just more autists.
Yeah, more autists. We got to start figuring out how to do stuff with our Biting the Bullet pod.com shit so people can see like where we are on other places, so they can find our show, but there's like a, you can also find us on these shows or some shit like that.
Oh yeah, I can't, that'd be kind of a good idea. Yeah.
I can't do any of that. I can't do any.
See, this
of that,
is so. We just need to get to the level to where we can pay some nerd to do this stuff for us because we're retarded.
Yeah. That's why you need nerds to do things like that, because I'm not reading fucking computer code, or I don't know what you actually have to do. I don't even know if you have to read no code to fucking edit the page. Probably. I don't know. It sounds computery.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's weird. It's weird being like, oh man, this like technology stuff is cool. I have no idea where to start.
Yeah. And I don't really have the self-determination to do it myself. Like I'm like, we'll figure it out eventually, or just get somebody else to do it. Like I'll sit there and go, I'll listen to YouTube videos all day about Bitcoin and shit like that. Still don't understand it for the most part, but, I'll do that, but I won't go and like look at YouTube videos on how to, you know, edit your web page that
I've done
goes
that
directly to our business.
I've done that and I still really don't know what I'm doing. And then I'm afraid that like I'll do something wrong. Cause I'm like, dude, it looks like it messed something up. And then it's like the whole website's like fucked. And I'm like, fuck,
yeah,
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Fuck that. We need to make this bigger and pay somebody to do it for us, which would help us make it bigger anyways.
Yes.
Maybe we just take the hit. Maybe we just take the hit and pay somebody to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could, I don't really know how, honestly, I don't even know how expensive someone would be. So
whatever. And I don't care enough to go find out either.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of our whole problem. Like, we got lucky with Spirit of Resistance doing our merch because he was just like, hey, I'll do all your merch for you. Like, you don't have to worry about it. And I'll just give you the cut of it. And I was like, cool. Now I don't have to figure it out anymore. I'm down with that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like, then someone comes along. It's like, hey, I'll edit this intro for you. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, thank god you came along, because I was gonna try to do it and then it was probably gonna like be stupid and not make any sense
or just sound horrible.
Yeah, and then we would have put it in anyways.
Dude, I still get people to ask us like what song our intro is from, and I'm like, I literally just bought it online off some dude on YouTube. Like, I just bought the rights to the fucking song. But if some hardcore anarchy band out there wants to use it, fucking let me know. We'll send you the whole thing and you can make an actual song to it. Maybe we'll feature it in a show or something. But I was just like,
I posted it on our Twitter because I don't remember the name of it, because it's just instrumental and I don't really listen to instrumental music. I usually like people that sing and stuff, but I think what we did was YouTubed royalty free metal songs, and then that one popped up. Yeah, because that one, the one that we wanted, it wasn't royalty free. It was in the video for some reason, but we had to, so we're like, fuck it, we'll use this. And it was like $10. So
I know, it was awesome. Good song. I like it. And Freebird did awesome on the intro. So we appreciate that a lot. Have we hit our 10 minutes yet? Are we there yet? Can we start talking?
Shit. Dude, I don't know. It's so annoying because there's no time.
I know. I think we got to change that too. Stop paying for the premium Zoom and go to premium something else. But I don't know how long we've been going, and I don't want to get another fucking video taken off of YouTube.
I know, dude.
That's all right. We'll talk about sports real quick. So you can piss people off right now. Football playoffs happened this weekend.
Go Bills.
Bears aren't in it.
I'm cheering for the Bills, dude.
Broncos aren't in it. Bears aren't in it. And the Packers are in it, though. I'm excited for the Packers. I still think that they probably lose in the conference final, but I think they make it to the conference final, it's a pretty good bet. I don't know if they win the Super Bowl, though. I don't know. You think Tampa can do it? I feel like they're kind of injured right now. Like, I think they're struggling on the injury aspect of everything.
I think so too, but there's just something about Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Dude, so. Antonio Brown, savage. Like, dude, that shit was fucking hilarious.
Dude, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I love that. That was so awesome.
Yeah. The people hate like, on him, I'm out. But like, I like the wild card aspect of him. Like, you don't know what this guy's going to do. Yeah. Like, I don't know why an NFL team would invest in this guy. Honestly, I don't.
I don't blame him. Did you hear his side of it? Like, he was like, I told him my ankle was fucked. I've had problems with my ankle for the last 2 weeks. And then I told him I had nothing left to give. Like, I can't do it. My ankle's messed up. And and he said, Bruce Arians was like, you're done. You're done from this team or something like that. So he's like, oh, okay. And then just was like, took off his shit and jogged off the field.
Yeah, I kind of see both aspects, where I think Antonio Brown is kind of a problem on the team. I think he is kind of like causes a lot of unwanted attention and gets brought to it. And I think he kind of annoys coaching staff and all that. But then I think he honestly did have ankle problems. I don't think he probably didn't communicate that very well. I think Coach Arians was very frustrated because they were losing to the fucking Jets. And and I think he was like, yo, get the fuck back in there. And Antonio Brown, I don't know, because I've seen a couple interviews and stuff, and he didn't really necessarily know why Antonio Brown was just done playing right at that moment, at least from what he said in his side of the story. Yeah. So I think maybe Antonio Brown didn't communicate very well, but then Arians didn't really know what was going on, and he was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he was out the week before with an ankle injury, and he was on the injury report all week for the ankle injury. So I don't know. I think the funny part of it is right afterwards, he's on TikTok, like his Uber driver has him on TikTok. That was dope. And I was like, that's fucking funny. And then he went on that podcast like the weekend after, or the week of, he went on some podcast.
Yeah,
and was sitting there chilling and was like, I don't give a shit. Like, this is what happened. This is my side of the story. And he's just a weird guy. He's honestly a weird fucking guy.
Yeah. And I think it's very smart of him. Like, I don't know if the whole reason why this happened is because he didn't want to play injured, but it's very smart of him to take that angle, because the NFL has a very nasty history of not giving two shits about player health and even covering
especially,
it up. So
especially like, right before playoffs, losing to the Jets.
Yeah. So I don't really know the whole story or anything. I think there's probably a bit of both sides of the story, but I think it's just hilarious. This guy's causing a ruckus in the NFL, and I kind of love that.
Yeah, well, especially after the whole like fake vaccine scandal, like, or fake vaccine card scandal.
I gained way more respect for him after that.
He's a G. Yeah, he's a fucking thug. Like, good for you. Keep playing. Keep doing your thing. He's like, he could have still played. He could have still played without the vaccine card, but he's like, I'm not doing your bullshit. Here's my vaccine card.
Yeah, I'm not doing this test. I'm not doing this mask shit. He's like,
fuck because they were, the Tampa Bay was like the first 100% vaccinated team in the NFL. And it was like, oh, you guys are
fans. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's fucking hilarious.
Well, we already broke the COVID talk, so we can talk about whatever now, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what was really frustrating too is Kirk Cousins was getting like ran through the mud. Because their chances for a playoff, this was actually 2 weeks ago, was they had to beat the Packers in order to make the playoffs. And then they had to beat the Bears as well. But they lost the Packers. But Kirk Cousins tested positive for COVID. And he was just getting, like, sacked by the media because, like, see, this is why you got to get the vaccine and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, bro. That doesn't matter. Like,
if you can still get COVID.
Yes. If it wouldn't have mattered if he was vaccinated or if he wasn't vaccinated, he still would have popped positive for COVID. And either way, with the NFL's policy, he would have been sitting out during the Packers game. Yep. And I was just, it was just fucking annoying.
And do you honestly believe they would have beat the Packers?
Probably not. They barely beat the Bears.
I just see Kirk Cousins as a losing quarterback in the league. Same. It's him and Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz. Like, that's just what they are. Like, I don't care. Like, they're just losing quarterbacks. They put up numbers at the beginning of their career. They're still putting up numbers, but they are just quarterbacks who lose. And it's not, I just don't think
it's always under pressure. Have
any game IQ whatsoever.
When they're under pressure, they're the worst. Like, it's like, Philip Rivers, when he was under like a lot of pressure and he needed that comeback moment, it seemed he'd always throw a pick
right at the end of the game when they're making big plays. They make like three or four big plays. Another team that fucked themselves this weekend, the fucking Chargers.
Oh my god, dude, that was crazy.
And then the Raiders, did you see after the game the Raiders telling Austin Eckler that they were going to kneel the ball because they were guaranteed
I don't know if that was true.
They were guaranteed. Well, they said that they were saying to him that they were going to kneel the ball because they were guaranteed to go to the playoffs. That's your whole job as a coach, is to go to the playoffs. And why take the chance? The other team in your division might make it to the playoffs and they might have ended up playing pretty quickly. But at the same time, it's like, live to fight another day. You guys are both sucking ass right now.
The only thing I think the Raiders wanted to win that game desperately because the seeding would have changed for them. And that means if they would have tied, they would have been playing Kansas City, and they got smoked by Kansas City both times this season.
Yeah. Well, I think you always want to win the game anyways. I think you always want to win the game anyways, but I don't know if they would have been able to, if they didn't get that timeout, because I don't think they would have gotten that first down if they didn't get that timeout from the Chargers. Like,
yeah, well, it definitely changed their play because Derek Carr was in shotgun formation before the timeout, and then they called the timeout, and then all of a sudden he was under center. So I don't really know what the play was the first time, but it definitely changed something. And the Chargers fucking head coach said that the reason he called the timeout was because he wanted to put his best run defense players in. Like, he was stacking the line. And one, I guess there was a substitution error or something, and he wanted to make sure that his best players were in for that play to stop him. And I think I don't think it helped. I think it gave the Raiders a little bit more time to kind of think about what play they want to run.
Yeah. I don't know. That shit was wild. I think this whole season has been crazy because of COVID and all the other fucking shit that's been going on.
Yeah. And then the 17 games.
Yeah. 17 games, and it's 2022. Like, I feel like this is going to be a weird year, just like the last two have been. I mean, since Harambe died, everything's been fucked. So,
you know. Started it off, dude.
Yeah.
People think it was Woodrow Wilson, but it was really Harambe, dude.
Yeah, it's all about the gorilla. The gorilla did it all. How's your day off been? What have you been doing today?
I went to the gym, and that's about all I did.
Yeah, I haven't done shit.
No.
I've been fucking working like crazy. Everybody's out with COVID. It's kind of hilarious. And then, the OSHA Supreme Court shit fucking happened yesterday. They ruled that OSHA can't make that mandate, which is kind of cool. Should be interesting how some employers work now. I know there's still some employers that are like, we're still doing it, and they're just going to terminate people. And I guess they can, like, whatever. I think that's shitty, and I think you're a shitty business if you do. But right now, I mean, I think that's better than making people to get forced vaccinations.
Yeah, well, I think honestly that now I don't know, but from the perspective of like the regime, if the Supreme Court would have ruled for the mandates, I think there would have been a significant loss in legitimacy in the state. I think a lot of people would have been like, wow, all hope is lost in this system. Like, this system is so fucked that we can't. Like, it's obviously unconstitutional. It's obviously and it's one of those things that has a lot of attention too. Like, I'm not saying that the Supreme Court hasn't passed unconstitutional shit before, but this has a lot of people's attention. There's a huge, resistance to all of this that's happening, at least a large minority of the country. So
yeah,
I'm not saying that like it played out better. I think it played out for the regime a little bit better, because now not only did they get to have
face almost.
Yeah, they can save face. And not only now, they had a whole year where this thing was basically enforced, maybe not a year, but like 6 months almost, or whatever. And yeah, so now we have like this forced vaccination where all these companies were like, oh, well, Biden just said it in the speech, so I guess we have to enforce it. And then all these pharmaceutical companies profited out the ass because they're like, oh, they just enforced the shit for fucking and months. All the
politicians fucking bought into the stock that they needed to.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
did you see that report? Everybody catching hold of that report. And yeah, it was like, what? That was funny. I think it's kind of like what you're doing on Twitter. It was like one of those things that was obvious, like, and people are realizing it now. Like, you've been for the last week basically on Twitter just being like tweeting the most obvious positions.
Yes.
I think that would be the best way to explain it. Like, just tweeting like, oh, this Rand Paul guy has it seemed like he has it figured out, or guys, I think the Federal Reserve is bad for us, or yes, you know, like, I think the COVID vaccination problem has done more to hurt the nation than actual COVID. And, you know, it's fucking true. Like, with the insider trading shit, it's like, we've known about that. And then Nancy Pelosi's weird ass response to the question about insider trading. Mm-hmm. It was like, what'd you guys expect? Like, that's kind of the point.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about politicians, like, insider trading or insider trading in general, but yeah. It's kind of part of the game. Like, you know, it's not a surprise that Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of politicians, like, invested a shit ton of money in the pharmaceutical companies. And then all of a sudden,
right before announcing,
yeah, right before Joe Biden decides that he's going to institute a mandate, and it's like, oh, what a fucking coincidence! Like, like I don't know,
Joe Biden, bing bong.
And then I think what's more interesting is how did you see Ted Cruz, recently?
On what part? Because I remember him on the January 6th shit saying that there was domestic terrorists, and then he had to go on fucking Tucker Carlson to explain why he said domestic terrorists, and he was yes. like, oh, it was a slip of the tongue, and he's like, no it wasn't, no it yeah. wasn't, you know, yeah. fucking Tucker Carlson, no it wasn't, I don't believe you Senator yeah. Cruz.
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, somewhat kind of cool, because that's what left-wing people do to their fucking politicians. If you say the wrong thing that doesn't align with the at least loudest part of their base, then they'll go after you. And it was kind of cool watching, like, right-wingers being like, yo, Ted Cruz, you're a piece of shit. And then fucking he goes, and then Tucker Carlson slams him. He had to go on Tucker Carlson and basically backpedal. And he, and then... You know, and then he went on to, I guess he, what was the committee? I don't know, but they, that FBI agent or representative, where he's like acting all hard and tough. And I think this is the only reason he's getting tougher and harder is because he's trying to save faith for what he just did like a week ago. And yeah. he was asking the FBI agent, like, did you have FBI informants or assets oh, yeah. in that helped incite or there during the Capitol January 6th riot? And then the FBI agent obviously is like, I can't comment on a pending investigation or whatever, the yeah. cop out excuse. And then, like, don't get me wrong, it was a really good point, and I'm glad he was asking those questions, but we know why he's doing it. He's just yeah, trying to save face.
Because literally a week ago, he called everybody there a domestic terrorist, and yeah. That it was attack on democracy. I love it. I love it, dude. I love watching hypocrisy in your face all the time. It's like Trump. Trump recently fucking went and was touting the vaccine
to people. I know, dude. What a...
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything that we've said about these people. It's everything that we've said about these people. And it's like, you know, that's kind of like the post-libertarians are like, let's go to the right route. Let's go to the right and, you know, fucking go after them. And yeah, Trump was a shitty and whatever, but he got things changed and changed mindsets and stuff like that. And it's like, and as anything to oppose, like, basically it's anything to oppose the COVID mandates and vaccinations. And it's like, well, now the guy that you guys were touting behind is touting the fucking vaccine. Like, what's your excuse now? Like, what are we going to do? How does that work then?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. At least in 2016, I felt like Trump was so much more in tune with his base. Like, yeah. I thought he was just more up to date and kind of savvy. And he would say a lot of things that would get his people fired up. And then right now, I don't know if he's like so desperate to take credibility for the, because it's his thing, Operation yeah. Warp Speed. I don't know if that's his, I don't know what's going on, but he's like so out of touch because he gets booed at his own yeah. things he's at. And he's usually the guy that's like, everyone's cheering for him and like actually yeah. see Republicans going psycho for this guy. And then he's getting booed talking to Bill O'Reilly about getting boosters. And you're like, what are you doing up there, dude? What are you Stop. Doing right now?
Stop, get help. Yeah, he could have just been one of the guys that were like, you know, made the vaccine for people felt like they needed vaccines and everybody else can just go on about their life. That's literally all he has to say.
It's an easy literally position.
It's just position. Like while he was in the presidency, literally all he had to do was not hire John Bolton. And, you know, he did that too. So it's like these people can suck a dick. Like, I don't fucking care about them. I don't fucking care about them. And I've gotten less and less wanting to be involved in any kind of political sphere whatsoever. Like I think the agorists, I don't think the agorists have it right either. And I don't think the Mises Caucus or the LPers in general are the absolute right either. I think it's a combination of things, right? It's like everybody's got to attack from the angle they feel the strongest, right? We've talked about that before. The more, the further we get into 2022 and the further we've gotten from since we've started the podcast, but basically since the COVID shit, the more I've gone into like, I want to withdraw from the world. I want to start a little area. Like I want to move to where I want to move with the people that I like and the people that I want to be around me. And let's withdraw and just create a fucking base or a fort, because shit's getting wild. And I think there's got to be a head at some point. I'm not saying it's going to be violent, but there's got to be a head, because at this point, it just seems like there's so much bottled up tension, and especially in the United States, in the world in general, but in the United States, that something's got to blow. Like a fucking bolt is going to pop out at any moment that leads to other bolts popping out and other bolts popping out until the whole fucking engine blows.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because, well, you know, there seems to be like this kind of like the security apparatus, the national security apparatus is like really focusing on like Ukraine right now and what Russia's, the tensions Kazakhstan. In Russia. And then Kazakhstan's kind of taking on, Kazakhstan's going fucking buck wild. I kind of love that. Yeah, but
I know that's fucking, well, I'm saying they're paying attention to Kazakhstan right now because Russia's trying to go through there as well right now.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, like Kazakhstan wasn't even really on my radar, wasn't even paying attention until like they're like, yeah, we're overthrowing our government.
And I'm like, well, yeah, oh. It was just like I went to sleep one night and the next day it was overthrown. And they're like, yeah, Kazakhstan overthrew their fucking government last night. And I was like, damn, that's pretty dope, because they didn't want to pay up the petrol tax that they hiked up incredibly.
Well, they like, were. The government was trying to artificially set prices for stuff.
Yeah.
And they turns out that wasn't working out. And the supply line was getting really fucked up because like anyone with basic economics knows you can't just arbitrarily set prices and not have major ramifications for it. And then their government's like, oh, we got to fix things and let the prices kind of go up a little bit. And then the people are like pissed. So like, I don't, it went wild, but, it's interesting because you'll see the I don't know if Twitter's the best, like, I guess, basis for what's going on, but you'll see like Republicans start pushing for like the more establishment type Republicans will be like, Joe Biden's so weak on Ukraine right now. And then you'll see a bunch of Republicans like, dude, look at our country. Why do we care? Why do we even care right now? What's going on? And that's like the position to have.
That's like, so that's like my problem with like the, like Joe Rogan, like, God, I can't stand getting into a podcast on Joe Rogan. And then halfway through the conversation turns to China. And I'm like, dude, I literally don't give a fuck about China right now. I could give two fucks less about China or the CCP. I don't care. I don't care. And there's a lot of people especially in the LP, maybe guys that listen to this fucking podcast that are like, China's trying to undermine our democracy. And it's like, we're doing a damn good job about that by ourselves. And second off, like, China's not going to invade us, bro. Like, okay, if the worst China does is bomb, like they might try to bomb a couple of cities to make it easier for them to roll it through. But guess what? Like, they're not going to take over the entire continental United States. And the places that they do take over, I don't really care about that much. Washington, D.C.? Oh, no. They got vaccine mandates. I don't give a fuck. Like, take New York. Like, I'm sorry. Like, people need to get out of those areas anyways. Not because China's coming, but because China's already there. And it's just not China. It's the United States government. And, you know, fuck them. Like, I want everybody to live their best lives. You know, fucking go on, do whatever they want. But you're not going to be able to do it and live free in places like that. And honestly, at this point, even if you don't have the money, you better hitchhike out of that bitch, because it's getting bad. But I'm tired of hearing like the big podcasters talk about China. I don't give a shit about China. I think China's going to fuck themselves. Their economy is so closely tied with ours that the worse ours gets, the worse theirs gets. And they're spending at a lot higher rate than we are. Their government is spending a lot higher rate than we are. I don't care. They're scheduled for demise before we are, if it's just solely economic.
Yeah. Well, like, and the thing is too, is like China has, they have their own prerogative and they don't really want, if China had a bunch of ships and stuff outside in the, you know, the Gulf of Mexico, that would probably piss off a bunch of people in America. Just like that's what we're doing to them right now and getting involved with Taiwan when they have like this major history with them. Yeah. So like even if they went to, like, I don't know if China has the ability to take over Taiwan, but if they did, what the fuck do we care about it? Like, why are we going to get in a war with a major nuclear power? They have nukes as well over an island outside in the South China Sea. Like, what are we doing here? And even if like, I think it's ridiculous that people even think that China can come over to America and invade. But what I hear a lot is you'll see some people say that, you know, we need the federal government to stop China, because that if without the federal government, we don't have a massive unification of the states to go against a superpower like China. But then in the same thing, a lot of those people will say that China has a lot of influence in our federal government. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
So they're using the very thing that we need to stop them to have a massive influence over the American people. And it's like, well, what if we just try decentralization, getting away from the federal government? So then there's not this centralized power that's very easy for places like China, or what I think is more likely places like Israel, to have major influence in over American politics.
Yeah. I mean, it's the hypocrisy in it is wild, because those same people that are talking about China and how they have both of those things, we need the federal government to stop China and our federal government is being overrun by Chinese spies, will also make no comment that Israel is a problem. They actually step up and defend Israel constantly on a daily basis for all the things that they do over in their side of the country, on their side of the world. And then on top of that, claim we need to give more money to them to continue to do those things. So rob the American people to give to Israel, who's already controlling a lot of our politics in general, in a gratuitous or multiple different ways, like a gratuitous amount. And it's just insane. And that's always been my problem with Republicans, because those are the people that are saying that those three things. It's like, yeah, what the fuck is up with the Republican Party? Like,
it's not just like major corporations that know that the federal government's this huge honeypot that they can cash in on. There's a bunch of other countries out there and politicians and other governments that know they can do the exact same thing. Cause you'll see where I know people around here, like, they'll be like, yeah, those stimulus bills, and they gave all of our money to these foreigners. And then you'll see lefties, they'll be like, yeah, they gave all the money to corporations. And it's like, okay, well, you guys are, you're, both of your grievances are right.
Absolutely. I'm not saying correct. That.
I just think let's put them together. What is the problem here? It's because the federal government just allows itself, because of whatever, to be completely influenced by special interest or foreign national nations. And there's no saving this thing.
Yeah. Did you see the incredibly, incredibly based video that came out of Iran?
Iran? No.
Yeah. So Iran released a fucking video, and it's an animated video of them assassinating Trump on his golf course in Mar-a-Lago. And I'm pretty sure Mattis is there with them. And the entire thing is because he killed Soleimani. Mm-hmm. Dude, that shit was fucking hilarious. Dude, if I was in the Marine Corps and we put out something like that, like they fucking hit one of our generals in country or some shit like that, and the Marine Corps put out like some animated based ass fucking secret But it's like a secret op, and it's like I think it was Lee and Block Lee, and Block Press Lee on fucking Twitter. I think it was him. He was like, I am perfectly okay with Iran putting out this video because it shows that the United States president can, or former president can, get assassinated by $1,000 worth of drone or RC, $1,000 RC car. And it's so fucking funny, dude. And I'm pretty sure it's Mattis that's up there, because it's like, for General Soleimani, the people that gave the call and did it deserve to die, or something like that. And it's, I was like, dude, what the fuck? That was wild. Like that's yeah, ballsy, especially with this government that's in right now, the federal government that's in right now. You got the establishment Democrats are running the country.
Yeah.
Right when a Republican comes back in, we're going to war, baby. I know it for a fact, because that's what we do. The establishment Democrats call for it constantly. We need to worry about them because of women's rights. And then a Republican comes in and it's like, oh, here's an attack on our fucking warship that we had in the perimeter of fucking outside of, you know, somewhere around Iraq or Afghanistan, or not Iraq or Afghanistan, but, you know, somewhere in the what's the peninsula called, or the strait? What's the strait that goes up through there? I can't remember. The Hormuz Strait. Yeah, that's what it is. Hormuz. The main trade route that goes up to all those states, all those countries, not states, I guess. But yeah, it's, you know, and then we get, oh, look, they bombed us. Let's go to Iran.
That's actually really funny. I didn't see that at all. But yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, they have a major grievance with Donald Trump. I mean, he backed out of the Iran deal and totally looked like, made their government look like a bunch of bitches, and then turned around and dropped a drone on one of their generals. So I think, I mean, some people were arguing on Twitter over like if Trump was funny, and people started sharing like old Trump tweets and like his videos and stuff. And it's like, okay, this is undeniable. He was funny. Like he was pretty funny. And someone tweeted one where I died at this one, because he's like, this dude dropped a drone strike on the Iranian general and then threw up this shitty flag of the United States of America. And he's like, he's throwing up his signs, dude.
He's throwing up his signs. That shit was hilarious.
It was like right after this. I forgot about that. But and the picture was like, it looked like he got like the first crappy image of American flag off Google and just like went with it. It was so good.
Dude, he definitely ran his own Twitter account. Like, that was the best part. Like, all the other presidents and a lot of politicians, they got a team, you know, they have to have a team. And they always do have a team, and it gets ran by, and they still stay stupid shit. The only people that have like their own is like Dan Crenshaw, I'm pretty sure, runs his own, because God, the shit that comes out of that guy's fucking Twitter account can only be said by a one-eyed fucking idiot.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he's garbage. And then the only other person that I know for sure, and maybe Tulsi Gabbard, it seems like she kind of runs her own, but then, Trump. Trump definitely ran his own fucking Twitter account. I miss him on Twitter because it was so fucking funny. But could you imagine him, like, he's like, oh, we just bombed Soleimani. He's like, all right, cool. And he's like, he just got a text message or something saying that they got him. We're like, hey, Mr. President, we got Soleimani. Here's the fucking video. And they like send it. He has all of them sent to his fucking iPhone or some shit. And he's just looking at it and he's like, dope, we got Soleimani. And he's like, switches over to Google, like, yeah, old, yeah, American flag, or he's like American flag. He doesn't even spell it right. He doesn't know how to spell America. He's like American flag, and it accidentally auto-corrected to American fag first. And then he like goes back and he's like, oh shit, no, flag, because he's looking at gay porn all of a sudden, just auto-corrected for him. And then he goes to images and he finds like I don't even know where he found that one. I don't know how you find a flag like that on Google, because you type in American flag on Google and it brings up like nice American flags, and he found like a shitty tattered one. I don't think it was tattered. It was just like, it looked old and fucking ragged. And then he's like, yeah, We got him. We got Soleimani. I'm gonna post this on fucking Twitter now.
Yeah, dude. From a perspective of like,
didn't he quote tweet it? Didn't he quote tweet something that said that we had killed Soleimani and he just put the American flag? Isn't that what it was?
I think he just posted the flag.
Was it a post? Oh,
like when the news when the news post, he just posted the flag. Like he didn't. I don't know. I don't even think he tweeted about it at first. I think the news broke and then he just posted a flag like America. One of the funniest, like, I don't know, but he would cause a bunch of mischief and outrage on Twitter, and it was, God, it was one of the funniest things to ever to just watch people get so up in arms about this dude's tweets. And we don't really have that anymore. There's not like a central focus of someone, like, not everyone's paying attention to one person. Like, now it's kind of like Joe Rogan is probably the one that gets criticized the most.
Joe Rogan gets criticized almost more than Trump, it seems like.
Yeah, he's the most like not like most polarizing, non-polarizing person in America right now. Yeah. Where he's not even that radical or anything. Like,
he's a fucking literal lefty. Well, and it's the same thing that we said about Donald Trump. It's like, they don't like somebody that's not as radical as them, but they're lefties still. Like, Donald Trump is a New York City Democrat. He fought for New York City Democratic policies.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. And the left freaked out about it.
Yeah. And Joe Rogan's like a 2014 left liberal. Like,
yeah.
That's what like he is.
Universal healthcare,
universal healthcare, fucking, you know, education for everyone. Yep. And, you know, like, and he has like decently, like, I guess somewhat right wing, like, I guess he's pretty 2A, but then at the same time, he'll talk about like, you know, I don't think everyone should have a gun. We definitely need, like, background check. So it's like very like moderate political views. The only thing I would say he's up against, like, on totally it's against COVID. Is COVID. That's the only thing that's really made him out to be some sort of radical, and in reality, he's just not. And, you know, I love that. I love that about him, that he's like he's the biggest podcast in the world. And he's like, yo, this COVID stuff's a little fishy, guys.
Dude, that the last doctor he had on, Moeller, or I don't remember who it was, Moner or some shit like that. I haven't listened to it yet.
It's good.
But it had like 50 million. It's the biggest podcast of all time. That's insane. That's insane. Yeah. That does a lot. That does a lot. Like,
yeah,
that's saying something.
That guy got right before he went on Joe Rogan, or at least right before. He got
banned from Twitter.
Yeah. Banned from Twitter. And then Joe Rogan made a Getter or whatever, that it's like the almost like the conservative Twitter, I guess, or.
Yeah,
these more free speech ideal of Twitter. And it actually, like, I mean, it was kind of cool. Just like, I looked at Getter. It kind of sucks. And I mean, there is a lot of people that are on there, and it definitely has some decent interactions on there. But the only thing I thought was cool is there's just a large amount of people that once Joe Rogan went, it kind of gave like the, oh, okay, we're trying something else.
He doesn't have to open that shit up. Like, he's got a team to open that up for. I don't want to deal with all that.
And he doesn't even really post like that. I mean, maybe he posts more on Getter. I don't really know, but on his Twitter, it's like he will.
It's pretty generic.
Yeah, if he's being attacked in the media, he'll kind of like clear that up with one tweet and be like, yo, CNN lied and they like distorted my face on CNN. Here's the actual picture. Here's the image. And it's like a million likes. And he'll like tweet like, here's my conversation with whatever, and promotes his own podcast. Like, he's not very active or interactive with it or whatever. But it was just kind of cool. Like, okay, looks like we're finally kind of like starting to like move over to different platforms. And I know Rand Paul announced, because he's been like taken down and got a bunch of strikes on YouTube, that he's solely going to Rumble now. He's only posting on yeah, on Rumble from now on.
I need to make us a Rumble. We're on Odyssey. Odyssey is kind of cool. Somebody donated like point fucking 35. I don't know, whatever the Odyssey library tokens. Odyssey has like a token that they can, that you can give creators and stuff, and you have to use tokens to upload your podcast, but it's only like 0.01 of a token that you have to use. I don't know, it's weird. But every time I upload, I guess if you upload and you use more tokens to upload, you get a better chance in the algorithm or something like that. So if more people are giving you tokens, the more you can promote your stuff, because the more you can use to upload your, or to upload your video, the better the algorithm is for you, kind of thing. Kind of an interesting idea. Kind of seems cool. But I think we need to do a Rumble too, just because we need to get out there on different things, because YouTube has literally taken down like three of our videos. I don't know if our account's gonna last too long.
Yeah, you, I honestly, dude, if they kick us off YouTube, I say we just put our videos on the other alternative platforms, because
yeah, there's no point. There's
just no point. Like, we don't really have that much of a fan base on YouTube.
Hour-long videos on, you can post like an hour-long video on Twitter, can't you?
I think there's a limit, actually.
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah. The only reason I think that is because when the Barstool president was defending himself against like the accusations from Business Insider, he put it in like 15-minute increments. But then I've seen videos on, I mean, I might be wrong.
I feel like I've seen like a long ass video on them. I don't know.
Maybe it's for only certain accounts though. I'm not sure.
So I found
he's not verified.
Yeah, that's true. I found a article that has the 11 best Trump tweets.
Let's take a quick break for our sponsor.
Hey, fellow Biting the Bullet listeners. I want to tell you about a new show. It's called How I Embrace the Suck. I interview vets of all types about their time in the military. If you like Biting the Bullet, I really doubt that you would like How I Embrace the Suck. In fact, I'm begging you, don't ever look it up or even listen to it. And most of all, never ever tell your friends or family what a great show it is or how much they will enjoy it. If your friend or relative is unfortunate enough to listen to How I Embrace the Suck, they will get insight into the realities of military life with minimal disparagement or glorification. Here are some terrible clips that I sincerely hope do not pique your interest.
But yes, you have to read. And I took reading for Marines, and that's how I overcome it.
I'm like laying at attention, ready to show up to my first command. I was so spun up.
That's part of my life's mission, is to help people with that. So I try to tell people in any bureaucracy, especially the ones that will kidnap you if you don't follow the right order, I would start a fucking side hustle tonight.
Yeah, exactly. We want to, no, it was good. It took me a second because I can barely hear. So,
oh, Bird, it looks like autism, because like every time we had Bird on the podcast, fucking motherfucker had come up with like a whole fucking PDF file, like all fucking drawn out, like all these notes. We were sitting there like, holy, is this what a real podcast looks like? This is amazing.
Thank you. Let's get back into it.
And you know, I kind of want to
simp Trump a little bit.
Yeah, I talked shit about him, but we can simp him a little bit. Healthy young child goes to doctor, gets pumped with massive shot of many vaccines, doesn't feel good and changes. - autism, many such cases.
Dude, what year was that?
March 28th, 2014.
Fuck yes.
God, that was fucking hilarious. Autism. It's like all caps, bro. I'm trying to see if there's any from like his presidency, because those were the best, dude. He would tweet out the wildest shit. 2015. The number one is, it's got to be like a lefty page, but still, these are funny. Every time I speak of the haters and losers, I do so with great love and affection. They cannot help the fact that they were born fucked up. Me, president-elect of the United States of America. That was September 28th, 2014. There's a compilation of all of them that you can search all of his tweets by like code or like by a word.
Like, there's an account on Twitter that it's literally, they're like old Donald Trump tweets, and they just post screenshots of all of Donald Trump's tweets, and they're it's hilarious.
Oh, it's the TrumpArchive.com. You can look up all of them.
They're hilarious. You know, like, it's kind of funny too, because you know how when like you kind of get used to something that it's not as shocking anymore. And I think that the like I don't think Trump's like effect is as shocking anymore.
Yeah.
And it's one of the moments that we get to cherish in our lives because we were there. Like, we were there, dude. We were there in the moment that we watched this, because it's just like one of the craziest things to watch like this reality TV star go into the Republican debates and just start trashing the establishment. And you're like, holy fuck, dude.
Dude, he just went. Dude, that was the best part, was like, he was like, I'll talk shit about anybody. And he talked shit about everybody. And that's why it was funny, is because he didn't care. And I think we talked about this a little bit on the Tower Gang episode, but it was refreshing. It was like, fuck yeah, somebody that doesn't give a shit. And then right when he was in office, like, he wouldn't care on Twitter, but then everything that he did in office was very establishment. And it was like, damn, dude, like, I wish you kept that same energy. And then by the end of it, he was just garbage, because he had printed a whole bunch of fucking money. He had, you know, continued to drone strike the fuck out of random brown people in the Middle East.
He increased drone strikes.
He increased it. And, you know, it was just one thing after another that it was the status quo. He had John Bolton. He had fucking, what's his face? Pompeo.
And
he had fucking, you know, Mattis as the Secretary of Defense, which was pretty crazy to have Mattis as the Secretary of Defense. But Mattis originally was one of the people that said that he wanted to end the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then all the reports came out and it kind of seemed like he wanted to continue everything, or at least do like a big push to end everything. And that's what he wanted to do.
Well,
one thing after another.
Mentality was not to drag out the war, but just go hard, like bomb your enemy, destroy your enemy, and then get the fuck out. I think that was more like along his lines of maybe that changed a little bit over the time, because he was a little bit more aggressive in like Syria and stuff, but
And then he left the Kurds. That shit was funny. He left the Kurds. We did a whole episode on it. He left the fucking Kurds. That was weird.
Well, isn't that when he resigned
establishment? Yeah, I think he resigned right out. Well, I meant Trump left the Kurds, and that's when Mattis resigned. I think right after that was when Mattis resigned, and we were like, oh, that was pretty wild. Here's one. Beto O'Rourke is a total lightweight compared to Ted Cruz, and he comes nowhere near representing the values and desires of the people of the great state of Texas. He will never be allowed to turn Texas into Venezuela.
So exaggerant.
It's just so, and it's so random. Like nobody else is thinking that. But I, at that point in time, I think that's when everything was going down with Venezuela. I don't understand. That shit was. And then on February 23rd, 2019, God bless the people of Venezuela. This is awesome. You can search any fucking word you want. I searched gay, and it looked like people that replied to him gay. Because I know most likes. The most liked thing that has the word gay on Trump's Twitter is reporting that Orlando Killer shouted Allahu Akbar as he slaughtered club goers. Second man arrested in L.A. with rifles near gay parade. In 2016, Lying Cruz, and that's the other thing. They all hate each other until they don't hate each other, until they're on the same side. Lying Cruz put out a statement. Trump and Rubio are with Obama on gay marriage. Cruz is the worst liar, crazy, or very dishonest. Very dishonest. Perhaps all three.
Yeah. Well, Trump did. I think he was the first president he was the in first America. President.
Yeah,
to win the presidency and run on gay marriage. But it was like, okay.
Yeah, dude, his most liked tweet was tonight. The first lady and I tested positive for COVID-19. We will begin our quarantine and recovery process immediately. We will get through this together. And then he fucking went on to slam it in like 3 days.
Yeah, dude, that was hilarious. And he did that drive by when he was like in the car, like waving out and sitting in the car, like, what the fuck is this guy doing, dude?
November 7th, 2020. I won this election by a lot.
He doesn't give up, dude.
All caps, dude.
He goes after any Republican that questions that narrative too. It's pretty funny. He'll put out like the statement from the president's desk.
I know.
It's basically a tweet.
He was a man of the people. He was a man of the people. He knew what they liked.
He's good at getting people like a little fired up, a little excited. And that was one of the, when he was, see, one thing I do like, it's always the most interesting, I think, is when it's not necessarily the debates for like the final debates for president, when you have the one Democrat and the one Republican, but the primary debate. When you see them going at each other, because they got to prove that they're more right than the other righty, or prove that they're more left than the other lefty. And that's when it gets a little interesting, because you're like, ooh, he's got a point.
You see the separation in the party, and it's kind of weird, because it's like, because right afterwards they're like, oh, I nominate Teddy, or I give my backing to Senator Cruz, or, you know, President-elect Donald Trump. You know, they all go for it, because they're like, we still want our party to win.
of course. I don't know. I think that's when Trump was at his best, was in 2015 when he was on the Republican debate stages. I thought that's when he was the best. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, it was awesome watching him slam Hillary Clinton and destroy that cunt. Like, I'm so happy that happened. But at the same time, when he would, my favorite moment, I think he was second or third in the polls at this time, and he really wasn't considered a serious candidate yet, not completely. And he basically like looked Jeb Bush in the face and was like, your brother lied us into war. You never should have been there. You cost us thousands of our U.S. soldiers' lives, and it was a mistake. There was no weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, then, I don't know, he got booed. He got booed a little bit by the crowd. And then, I can't remember what Bush said back, but he said something like, basic, my brother protected this country. And then I think Trump is like, 9/11 happened on your brother's watch. And it was like, damn, dude. And it was super cool, because like, you know, that night, like, Fox News went to town being like, you can't question the Bushes, blah, 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 blah.
I know.
and then the next day, the polls came out and Trump was beating Bush.
Oh, and then polls. I think shortly after that, that's when Jeb Bush dropped out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember, but you're probably right, because then that weird, awkward video came out where he's like, please clap.
Please clap. Please clap.
But it was one of the greatest Trump moments.
Dude, it is kind of like, that is kind of like the best part, is the primary. And I hope we get two primaries this year. I hope we get two fucking primaries this year.
Dude, did you see what the Republican Party just did?
No.
So they just put out, basically, if there's anyone that's going to run for candidacy under the Republican Party, they have to sign some statement saying they will not participate in like the debate commissions, that they're not doing the debates with the corporate media. Yeah.
That's surprising. Yeah. Because there's a lot of them that are still, you know, establishment Republicans.
Yeah. I don't know how.
I don't know what the Republican Party has been doing some weird shit lately. They've been doing some weird shit. But I just want to see a Republican. I want to see a Republican primary and a Democrat primary. I don't know if they're running Biden again. I don't know. Did you see that video that just came out recently of Biden? And people are like, what the fuck is going on? Like, that was the one that I saw quote tweeted the most, or retweeted the most. And it was like him. And he's like, all right, that's it for questions. And then he's sitting there. And the first question, like somebody, or he's like, that's it for my briefing. Everything else will be briefed after this, or something like that. And the first question was something about people still getting, how can you say that this is the, why do you still say that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated when vaccinated people are continuously getting COVID at higher and higher rates? And he's like, guys, we're not going to talk about this right now. We'll talk about this later. And then they just all started shouting questions and it looked like he was about to fucking cry. And then he just kind of like puts his head down by the end of it. Like, what is going on? And he just kind of like put his head down and kept his arms on the table and put his head down. He looked like defeated as shit. And
yeah,
I mean, I bet you he is defeated at this point. Everybody that has put him in power should be thrown in prison for elder abuse. Like that guy seems like he's on planet fucking, I don't know, XR7 in the nowhere galaxy, because he doesn't know where the fuck he is half the time. And when he has to fucking talk to all these people, he just looks tired and dead and fucking out of it. He doesn't know what's going on anymore, and he doesn't know why he keeps having to deal with it. And then he's always talking about, oh, I can't say that, they won't let me, or I can't answer that, oh, they won't let me. And he looks like he realizes he has no control over the situation. And then he comes out every once in a while and has like an angry video, and it just reminds you of your grandpa that shit himself, you know, because he lost his the ability to control his bowels, you know, and he doesn't know what's going on. And then he just starts yelling at shit because it's moving too fast.
Yeah. I think there's just like, you know, I think the press tried to cover for the Biden administration as much as they could, but I think things are just so kind of shitty right now that they can't deny that there's problems anymore. And like things, I can't really pinpoint what their agenda is or anything all the time, but it just seems like I saw, you know, Tim Pool was actually talking about this, but they were the ratings for the, like, I think it was like 90% of CNN's ratings have dropped in a year. Like 90%. Yeah,
they lost all their viewership from 2021, like their viewership in 2021 just absolutely died.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, it's, they're kind of like realizing that like people aren't tuning in because you're not giving them answers that they want. And you kind of see that. And maybe this is also kind of like with their agenda is kind of changing too with the COVID narrative, where they're kind of asking, they're not like, not that hardcore questions, but they're starting to like kind of question the whole narrative itself. And it's like, yeah. Ooh, well, now they're trying to do something here.
There was that one guy during the press secretary briefing with Jen Psaki, where he was like, I'm triple vaccinated, you're triple vaccinated, we both ended up with COVID. What's the president's answer to this whole thing on being, you know, a pandemic of the unvaccinated? Is that going to change? And she was like, well, you knew just exactly as I do that I didn't get as sick because of the vaccination. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's the problem. They give a little. They ask that question because it's kind of pointed, so it looks like they're doing their job, like the journalists look like they're doing their job, when actually the question should have been is like, yeah, it may have been less severe, but you guys touted this for months upon months upon months that this is a vaccine to end all COVID, because you won't be able to get it. And you said it multiple times that you will not be able to get it with the vaccine. The president said it, Fauci said it, Psaki said it, multiple other doctors inside of Fauci's regime said it. CNN repeated it and bleated it out for all the sheep constantly over the airways for months upon months, saying that once you get this vaccine, you can't get it. And then all of a sudden, all the people that were vaccinated were still getting it, and they changed it. They were like, well, but you just don't get it as bad. Like that's what it actually does.
Yeah.
And then they changed the definition of what a fucking vaccine is. I mean, I didn't know the original definition of a vaccine. I don't fucking read. I can't read. So it didn't matter to me that they changed it. I just knew a general idea of what a vaccine was. It means you can't fucking get it.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think they, Because I think that they kind of, I feel like they just have to know that this COVID stuff is just a losing, it's a losing political strategy. Like people, I think a lot of people are upset with it. I think maybe in certain regions in the country, you can kind of get away with it. But I think overall, like people are just sick and tired of this shit. And they like, especially the people that at least bought into it at the beginning, they wore their masks, they did the lockdown, they social distanced, they got the vaccine. And now they're like, oh, yeah. The first one didn't work, guys. You have to get another one. Oh, that one's actually not working. So you have to get another one. And it's like, and okay.
Now you need another one, but you need it sooner. It's at 5 months instead of 6 months. Well, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was crazy. That got announced this last week. And then the SCOTUS thing was, I didn't think it was crazy. I kind of assumed it was going to happen, that they would deny it in the Supreme Court. But then Kristen Sinema stepped up in Congress and said that she wasn't going to vote to allow the elimination of the filibuster, which was hilarious. And Harris had said like the day before, we have never let a minority. And dude, this was the wildest quote. I'm actually going to, I'll pull it up real quick because it was something along the lines of we'll never let a minority determine the outcome of what happens in this country.
I really like,
because she was Kristen trying to get Sinema. Rid of the, I know she's kind of like come out of nowhere because she was wild and crazy and we didn't like her.
Yeah, well, so she's, I think she does, she's more, I guess, progressively radical than other Democrats, but I think she knows that her state, she's from Arizona, I think that she knows that, like, she came again. Out of that possibly, but I think that she came out for Trump's wall, which was one of the very few Democrats that was openly about it. But I think she knows that the people in Arizona are kind of more pro border types. I mean, their state touches the fucking border. And I think that's a big worry in states that are touching the border is the immigration situation. And I don't really know. Apparently, Kristen Sinema has aspirations to run for president in 2024. I think she's trying to separate herself from the crazy Democrats. But I'm not really sure. I don't pay attention to her too much. But she's definitely a thorn in a lot of the regular Democrat side because she's doing things that's kind of against their agenda.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be pretty wild. I'm trying to find that quote from what's her face from Harris, but I can't find it right now. If I find it before the end of the episode, I'll read it. But yeah, that shit was wild because it was like, well, that kind of like that language backfires on you. You know what I mean? Like
who said it? Was it Harris?
Oh, no, it was Harris. She said something because she's trying to get rid of the filibuster because they want to pass the voting rights bill or whatever. But the SCOTUS thing happened, the change in booster efficacy months happened, and then Kristen Sinema stepping up in Congress happened. And I think that was the same day that Biden like put his head down and was like, I don't even know how to answer any of these questions. I'm not going to answer them. Like, it was just like one loss after the other. Like, they just took three big fat L's. But I kind of agree with you that I think a lot of it was to save face. Like, they kind of knew some things were going to fall through. And so they kind of let them because then they couldn't seem as bad as they were and that the checks and balances work the way that they're supposed to. But they got
almost everything out of it that they wanted. They got everything they wanted and they can save face and being like, people can now look back at SCOTUS and be like, see, we still have a little bit of faith in this, you know. And on honest, I've heard a couple of like constitutional type lawyers and they were talking about it, like Robert Barnes. And then I can't remember this other guy's name, but one guy was saying that I could see it going both ways. Like both these judges can easily go both ways. And the other guy was like, they could easily pass this if they wanted to, because like, you know, like a lot of times, you know, Trump got like three appointees on SCOTUS or whatever.
Yeah.
Was it three or two? I think it was three.
And he did it by kind of eliminating the filibuster in that sense.
Yeah.
In that area.
But like the SCOTUSes that he's appointed are like squishy conservative types at best. Like they'll kind of cave on issues, and I think if they're pressed hard enough, I think they'll cave right into whatever the regime wants. And I don't know. I just think they got everything out of it. They got to vaccinate a shit ton of more people through these mandates. It's kind of a issue that's not very, I don't think it's completely popular on, it's kind of hated against the right. I don't think it has all the support from the left. And right. I think it was just an easy thing to be like, okay, well, we still have this constitution. We still have these checks and balances, and it kind of restores a little bit more faith in the system for people, because right. it's like, okay, in the end of the day, you know, it was knocked down, but they still got everything they wanted at the same time. It's just, again, I think it's just charade. And I don't think that, I think like, you've said it before on the podcast, but you're like, I want them to put the boot down harder.
I do.
And in some sick way, I kind of do too, because I think the more delegitimization that happens to the federal government, the better. The more people that realize that this federal government is not out for you, it's not going to protect us, and we need to decentralize and, you know, through secession, whatever the fuck that looks like, but the federal government needs to be taken down somehow.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the last part of this podcast today. Something we wanted to happen happened, and you sent me a news article about it. And the only reason why I say it like that is we were talking to the Tower Gang people before we did their podcast, and we were talking about military suicides and how horrible that the number isn't higher.
You're terrible.
Because we hate vets.
I have it pulled up
right here if you want me to read it.
Oh, you pulled it up.
So
I have it up too. Jason Booth sent us this, just to let you know.
Jason Booth, fucking awesome. Go. He does his own show. Go check out his shit. He's on Twitter. He's always fucking tagging us and shit. But he sent us this article, and it was more military service members committed suicide July through September 2021 than have ever died from coronavirus. First sentence is, over 100 members of the U.S. military took their own lives in the third quarter of 2021. July to September, over 100 that they know of, over 100. Or that they can write off, that they have to write off as suicides. We're not talking about all the ones that were buried by other service members out in the middle of the desert in like Fort Hood. Just the ones that absolutely most definitely killed themselves on base or off base. One of my buddies that I work with, his cousin-in-law, Marine Corps, I don't know what age or... I know he's higher up, probably E6 and above. He committed suicide with his wife and kids in the house at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning recently, like within the last, I think it was right before Christmas or right after Thanksgiving, somewhere right in that time frame. So
he didn't take the Beating the Blues class?
No, he probably, you know, gave it to a whole bunch of privates and, everybody E5 and below. He was probably the head of that class. Had to give the announcement or give the fucking class to him.
Yeah, the don't kill yourself class.
The don't kill yourself class that makes everybody want to kill themselves. And I guess he just went home and did it himself after giving the class. You know, it's a thing that we talk about all the time on the show. It's a thing that we joke about all the time on the show because it's a little bit easier when you laugh at it. According to data released by the Pentagon, 126 service members committed suicide in quarter three of 2021, which broke down into 70 active service members. That's kind of surprising to me because usually the most suicides come from my dumbass fucking dog. He's going to make me kill myself. Most suicides come from veteran status, and usually in the era they served in was Vietnam.
This is probably not accounting for the veterans that killed themselves
I know. Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't account for veteran suicides, actually. So 70 active service members, 19 reserve members, and 37 members of the National Guard. Okay. National Guard's killing themselves. What are they killing themselves over? They're at home. Well, they're not even a part of the military.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a few National Guard guys, and I mean, they said it was miserable, too, on their little weekend that they have to go there. They said it sucked.
But... the weekend is so miserable.
Yeah,
that's just weekend... like having a bad trip, bro. Like, they had a bad trip for a weekend, and they're like, ah, better end it all.
Yeah, dude. Can you imagine, like, you know, 2 days a month in the military, and then you spend, like, I don't know, a Saturday at the whatever National Guard base you go to, and you're like, dude, this I'm done. I'm done.
I'm fucking done. The military is so bad, it'll make you kill yourself after living it for a weekend.
I mean, 19 reservists did too. So.
Yeah, and that's 2 weeks out of the summer. Like, that's that's all you got.
Oh, my God.
That's going to camp. That's going to camp. And I mean, as of January 8th, 86 members of the military have died from the coronavirus since the start of the pandemic. I wish, I really wish, I know I'm not going to get it. I wish that I knew the ages, the age range or the rank of, like, the rank spread of the people that have died. Because I bet you that would be incredibly telling. I bet you that would be incredibly telling. First off, because if it's, like, you know, higher up, lieutenant colonels, colonels, you know, things like that, or, you know, a general here and there, like a lower, star general, or a, you know, old ass master guns or something like that, or
it's
old
never
ass
them, dude. It's always the like lower major. Enlisted.
I know, but I don't, I'm talking about for the coronavirus. I don't think it's going to be, I don't think the 86, I think that spread's going to be higher in age.
It's probably the fat fucks in the Air Force, dude.
Yeah. Fat fucks in the Air Force and the dudes that already had that were HIV positive in the Navy. So like 60% of the Navy.
Yeah.
A total of 383 members of the U.S. military committed suicide in 2021. Through three quarters. In 2020, Pentagon data shows that 581 service members committed suicide altogether. In September, the total number of coronavirus deaths in the military was 43, and the doubling of deaths from September to January is partially due to the Delta variant spike, the Pentagon says. Yeah, I don't know. That's fucking wild. In December, the military began taking disciplinary action against U.S. service members who have not complied with the federal government's vaccine mandate. More than 200 Marines have been booted from the United States military for refusing the vaccine. Let's go.
Let's
go,
baby.
If you're one of those Marines, reach out to us. We'd like to talk to you. This summer, a research paper concluded that a staggering 30,177 American active military personnel and veterans involved in post-9/11 wars are estimated to have died by suicide. A figure at least four times greater than the 7,057 service members who were killed in combat during that time. The statistics emerged this summer in a report from the Cost of War Project, a joint research effort between Brown University and Boston University. Unless the U.S. government and the U.S. and this is a quote, unless the U.S. government and the U.S. society make significant changes in the way we manage the mental health crisis among our service members and veterans, suicide rates will continue to climb, the paper warns. That is a cost of war we cannot accept. And then there's a correction. A previous version of the story included the wrong number of suicides among service members during the third quarter of 2021. So the one that I read was correct. We need to bump those numbers up, boy. Higher. Can you take me higher?
Dude, it doesn't even surprise me. You know what's really weird too is because they always made it like all the, because I follow like the Military Times, Marine Corps Times, and then like their media outlets.
Yeah.
And they barely, like, I barely saw anything that addressed suicide, but they would be dropping articles left and right about how this unit COVID. is not you know, unit, whatever it's called, ready because the whole ship got COVID or this unit got COVID here, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, you guys don't even like give a shit. Like,
well, yeah, let's talk about the spread of an STD on a ship. Like they always bring up the ships and it's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. And like, dude, I don't know who had, like, I think people in the military in 2020 had it the worst out of anybody else. And like, it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers of suicides didn't reach as high as it did in 2020, because they locked those motherfuckers down, dude. They fucking did it, like the quarantine to the max, mask every day. I mean, there's people marching outside in their fucking little platoons in mask, and it, like all of it, like all the crazy restrictions that you, like us civilians in cities, were supposed to follow, that a lot of places, you know, would kind of like be a little bit lenient on or let you get away with, like where you can wear your mask below your nose type shit. The military, not having it.
No,
not having it. They're putting their foot down on that shit. And it's like, I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine, because being in the Marine Corps itself was fucking miserable. But add all the COVID shit on top of it, dude.
Fuck that.
Horrible.
The Marine Corps is going to or the military in general is just going to pump those numbers up for fun. Like I think they're trying to hit a record this year. I mean, we're at, what'd they say, 300 something already? And we still got, or that was, I guess, last year. I wonder what the last quarter was. I wonder what between September and December.
They don't have the data yet.
It was 300 in a month, right? 300 something in a month?
It was 300
in a month.
Yeah, it was 383 in three quarters, but then last year was 581. So unless 200 more people kill themselves in this fourth quarter,
holidays, I don't know. Time to do it. I know of at least one.
That's actually true. That's true. Well, that number's about to go up by at least one. We know for sure. That's true. You know, I think they used to tell us that during the holidays was the biggest time for
holidays
people
is the worst time for active duty, at least. I know holidays is the worst time. I know for a lot of vets, I bet you the numbers for that for vets is a lot higher. That's usually what it is. That's why it's the 22 a day number, which isn't actually the correct number. I think it was closer to 20 when we did our research on it. That could have changed. That was also 2 years ago before COVID that we did.
Yeah,
that
I'm
episode.
Interested maybe to look in the numbers for that.
Maybe we need to revisit that topic.
Yeah. Why don't you be like, and now we'll be doing 32 pushups a day, dude. God damn it.
Dude, I fucking did that 22 a day shit too. Do you remember that shit?
I did it too, but I only did it for like 3 days. And I was like, this is gay.
this is stupid. Oh, yeah, I didn't finish all 22 days. I was like, oh, I feel stupid doing this and posting it. And I was tired of tagging other people because they were just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, yeah, I understand. And it's pretty fucking stupid.
I got my dad to do it for a little bit and my uncle. And then I tagged my cousin.
Your dad did any push-ups.
Well, he had to do it in increments, but he did them. He had to break it up in like fives. But he got it done. He had to prove himself.
I'm going to go over a few news headlines that we can spitball real quick, and then we'll fucking end the show. This one was interesting to me. Northwest Arkansas is offering $10,000 in Bitcoin and a bike to relocate there.
Whoa, where's this at?
Northwest Arkansas.
A bike, like a bicycle or a
motorcycle? I'm pretty sure it's a bicycle. I'm just reading the article. I have no idea.
I'll think about this, bro. Now you guys can keep the bike.
Can I convert? Just sell the bike and give me whatever you got for it in Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Let's see. Larry Bird. Dave Chappelle didn't text Bob Saget back and regrets it. Oh no. Poor dude. Dave Chappelle. The whole thing with Bob Saget, like, I know he was a crazy vacciner. Like, he became like a crazy vacciner at the end. You had a tweet about that. What'd your tweet say about Bob Saget there, Typo?
Well, I didn't realize I got tickets to Bob Saget. What happened to Bob Saget? I'm going to go see his show in pretty soon.
Dude, isn't it weird? So he died and somebody else died. I don't remember who else died. Oh, I know Betty White, but it was him and somebody else died pretty close to each other. And they were both like big vacciners. And everybody's like, oh, they're not releasing the death of why they died. Usually they just say a drug overdose pretty quickly. But now they don't want to say a drug overdose because it could be led back to the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't really know. I know some people, I saw some people tweeting, I don't know if this is true or not, that it might have been fentanyl, because I know he did, I think he had some previous past with that, but yeah. You know what's really weird too, though, is like, I think like these icons of like sitcoms, like, you know, Bob Saget kind of was like America's like dad figure for a while. He was like Full House and shit. But I don't think we're like, our generation's really going to have that anymore. Like, we don't have like this one single TV icon that we kind of all kind of unite under is like, yeah, he was great back in the day on that show. Like, we're all going to have our own like person we look up to, and it's not going to be like this unifying thing. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I always looked at Bill Cosby like my dad.
Even afterwards.
Yeah, even more, actually. More so afterwards.
He actually got a lot closer to my dad when they exposed him.
Oh, shit. Let's see. Harris team looks to course changes to reset her political prospects. Do you think she's just going to get, like, washed out of politics after this? I don't know. It kind of seems like she is, because... she's less likable than Hillary Clinton at this point in time. Like, I think she is. Like, I don't think there's the calling for Harris anymore that there was. And even the ones that did, they've been extremely quiet.
Yeah, I think she does have some cult-like followers, like all politicians kind of do. And there might be some of the woke types that want her just because they want a black female to be president. But... I don't know about now. I haven't seen the data recently, but she was somehow she was polling worse than Joe Biden, and she's like barely on TV and stuff. And she would go.
I think they keep her off TV for that reason.
Yeah, but she would always do like what's his name, Charlemagne, I think, his like podcast or whatever, and like almost every time she just looks terrible.
Talks down every to Charlamagne, and Charlamagne's like, bro, I'm fucking a washed up rapper that never really had a career that moved to podcasting and got to talk to like some big name rappers, and people enjoy watching me talk to big name rappers because I can understand them at a different level. And then she just shits herself on TV, and Charlamagne has it. I think he sets it up perfectly because she's always higher than him on the screen. Like, she's got this big screen, and then it's Charlamagne, and this big screen and Charlamagne. And then she looks like a condescending bitch just talking down to Charlamagne. I forgot what he asked her on the last one, but the last one he asked her a question, and she just told him that he's like, stop being a Republican shill.
Yeah. Does Joe Biden run the country, or does Joe Manchin. Yeah. Because he was like stopping the Senate from passing whatever. And she freaked out on him. And it was, I don't know, when they like, it's like those moments, like, I love it. Because, and then it's like little moments like that. They revealed themselves that they're just fucking terrible people.
And then her like press secretary was like, we got to cut this interview short. And she was like, no, I'll answer the question. And they're like, no, we're going to cut it short. And she's like, no, I'm going to answer the question. And then she answered the question, and it was like, and they're like, we're having technical difficulties. And Charlamagne's like, we're not having technical difficulties. I can hear her just fine. Dude, that's the best part. Like, I was showing my girlfriend, I don't know if you've ever seen the Nardwar interviews with like rappers. It's this weird Canadian guy. He's this white dude that interviews like a whole bunch of rappers and actors. And he's just got like a really weird interview style. And he's just like this quirky, wears crazy. He wears like Tyler, the Creator fucking shirts and shit. But like shirts like Tyler, the Creator, you know how it's like kind of, they're just out there, you know? And he wears like the old school golf hat, like not the new school one that Hispanic dudes and that are staff sergeants in the military wear because they think they're cool, but like the old school ones that are like flannel with the big fluffy ball on top, ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So he wears that in every interview. This dude was interviewing like Nirvana and shit like that, but he asks really weird fucking questions and does a lot of research. So like he always talks to, when he talks, he's white, Canadian white, you know, skinny weirdo. And he always talks to these rappers and they're like, dude, are you the fucking feds? Like they just have no filter. They have no filter even with a guy like that. Like they don't try to be professional. They don't try to be, you know, something that they're not. And so that's why I love when Charlemagne gets like some high political office fucking person, because he's like, you're not fucking, you know, losing connection. I can hear you just fine. And I know you heard me say the question, like, you're not having technical difficulties. I love when they get put in those positions, like especially politicians that are part of the base that they're trying to represent. And it's like, you're not as cool as you thought you were, you know, smoking weed back in the day and listening to NWA, fucking Vice President Harris.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Let's see if there's any other good ones. I was just trying to find like the best, craziest shit. Alan, Capital Connection, Cuomo. Oh, Alan Shard talks the Capital Connection. Cuomo not finished in politics. What do you think about Cuomo coming back in a politics typo? How does that work out for him?
I don't think that'll go very well at all. I don't know what he's going to do. Like, he's kind of hated by his own. Like, the left hates him. Like, he was brought down by the left. It was not Republicans that took him down. I mean, yeah, they jumped on top of him when he was fucking down, but they didn't. It was his own party that went after him, and then they kind of turned on him. Even the media turned on him. Everyone. I don't know what he's – I don't know if he's going to try to re-image himself somehow. Like, maybe he'll be like, I'm a Republican now, but he's probably fucking hated by the Republicans, so I don't know what he's going to do.
I don't think he could be a Republican. Biden and Democrats run up against relentless conservative power. I don't think I can say anything about the Republicans as relentless or power. Like, I don't think they have either of those things. The Oath Keepers leaders and 10 others charged with seditious conspiracy. I saw that. I didn't read the full article, but it was about January 6th. 11 defendants, including the leader of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, were charged with seditious conspiracy.
Yeah, there's actually a really good interview. I can't remember, like Channel 6. It's the one I sent you when they interview the guy with the Viking hat.
I listened to most of it.
And I mean, I think the dude's like lost and kind of a little out there.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I don't know, dude. I just feel like these people are not what they're making them out to be in any way, shape, or form. And yeah. I don't really know. I haven't read this article about the Oath Keepers, but I think it's probably along the same lines, where the Oath Keepers have been completely bashed in the media plenty of times, made out to be these devils, and it's just an easy opportunity for them to pin this on someone, and then they can look back. Because I know a big talking point on the right was, how can you call these guys insurrectionists or domestic terrorists when no one's been charged or brought charges on
with
about domestic terrorists or anything like that? And then now they came out with like these 10
conspiracy.
Yep. So now that talking point's basically gone.
Yeah. And then the last one, because we kind of touched on it earlier, but this is a follow on to it. Trump takes thinly veiled shot at gutless DeSantis over COVID booster. We talked about it a little bit on Tower Gang, but he took a shot at DeSantis because DeSantis said something about not getting the booster or something like that. And Trump's like, this is the vaccine that I made, that I started. So you need to get the booster. I'm fully boosted. And he also got booed at that as well.
Well, honestly,
kind of shutting down the whole DeSantis Trump run for presidency, don't you think?
Yeah, well, fuck the whatever the science says. Just like looking at this, like basically political, Ron DeSantis knows the base much better right now than Trump. And Trump going after like Trump going after Ron DeSantis for like refusing the booster, like that just like this. I don't know. I don't think Trump's as in touch as he was back in 2015. I don't think this dude, I don't know if he'll be the candidate in 2024 unless he changes his tune. Like I don't
better figure it out.
If DeSantis does has aspirations, if this is a serious thing, that it's a hot topic, it's one of the most focused on things. And if DeSantis wants to make a shot for the presidency, this is kind of the divide he needs between him and Trump. And I only think this works in DeSantis's favor.
Yeah. And honestly, like DeSantis, I agree with you. I think it works in his favor. I think it makes Trump look, like you said, out of touch. And for Trump wanting to run in 2024, I don't think it's a good look for him to be touting anything about boosters. And DeSantis will have a lot of firepower going into the primaries if Trump continues on the booster track or touting the booster track, because he's going to be like, yeah, we don't need the boosters because look at the population of Florida. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting, like with all this stuff going on in the next still 2 years, three full years, basically, till 2024 is when the election is. Yeah, almost three full years left for Biden. You know, there's a lot that could fucking happen. And it's like, what? I feel like the Democrats before November are probably going to try to move away from the COVID shit. And then what does DeSantis have to stand on at that point? Like, I don't know what happens there, but it's going to be weird. It's politics don't make any fucking sense. And touting about him now is difficult because so much could fucking happen. Trump could keel over tomorrow from choking on a goddamn McDonald's cheeseburger, and DeSantis could get, you know, CIA or Hillary Clinton or, killed from, you know, a hammerhead shark in the Gulf, you know, anything could happen. So it's just going to be interesting. And it feels like the election season has already started for the president though in 2024, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because I think Republicans are just desperate, because a lot of people in my area, that's what they're waiting for. That's what they want. They want the next president election to come. And and I think a lot of Democrats are like, fuck, we just had 1 year of Biden and it's not going well. Things did not get better.
And it was
pretty
fucking garbage.
His whole thing, was
like the last
I'm gonna
year
run.
Was worse than the last six.
Yes. And his whole thing was like, I'm going to run on unity. I'm going to bring this country together. And the only thing I see him is causing a much further divide and pissing off a lot
and
of
almost
at least rational. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to rebound. I think the establishment class is just so out of touch with reality and the people in this country. Like, I think I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
There are two major pieces of legislation that they want passed. That one has passed the House. It's going to the Senate now, is the Build Back Better plan, right? So that's going to the Senate. And then I'm back in Trump land, or Obama land, I guess. The one that just came up, the voting rights legislation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that, those two things. So one is on to the Senate. I don't know if it necessarily passes in the Senate. It doesn't seem like Manchin or Sinema are voting for it. And that's one of the, I think that was like the secret reason why they were trying to, or not the secret reason, they wanted the filibuster to end because of the voting rights bill. But I think another one was the Build Back Better plan. And the Build Back Better plan is literally going to fuck us. I don't know if it's passed. Maybe it's already gone to the Senate and it got passed. Like, I don't fucking know. I don't remember.
I think it might have.
I think it might have too, like now that I'm talking about it. But it's going to fuck over generations of generations and generations of United States.
Yeah. And I don't think people on the left get very excited. It's like, hey, we're going to fix potholes in the road.
Yeah.
Like this is well, the what Build Back we're
Better
do.
Was like, yeah, it was a lot of it was infrastructure.
That's what they sold it on.
Yeah. But then a lot of it was testing sites for COVID and then schools. And then, well, Chicago's we need to end, but the Chicago school district or the Chicago teachers union is coming under fire from Democrats the last couple yeah. weeks.
Well, because they came to an agreement and then they supposedly got kids back in school. And then a bunch of high school kids started walking out of school because they want to do the e-learning and they don't want to do because the spike in the Omicron cases are going up in Chicago. So they feel unsafe going to school.
And like, let's be honest, even if I was in school and I disagreed with all this bullshit, I was like, yeah, can we go back to e-learning? I don't want to be around this fucking teacher, these teachers having to wear whatever the fuck they want me to wear, listening to their bullshit for 8 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'd rather go to e-learning.
Yeah, at that dude, point. I would fuck school.
Even if I thought the Omicron bullshit was bullshit at that point in time, which I probably would. I'd be like, this is garbage.
And even if I did, like, maybe that's why they walked out was because of the Omicron thing. I don't know all of these kids' incentives or why they did it. But, like, if these kids want to leave these shitty schools and want to go back to e-learning, I kind of think that should be an option for public schools. Like, if we're going to have public schools and kids don't want to be in the place, they kind of want to be at home, especially high school kids that can take care of themselves at home is pretty good. Like, they're not, you know, 7-year-olds or whatever, then fine. But I don't know. I think it's just I love it because it's like infighting on the left because the teachers union is supposed to be like,
well, the teachers union was trying to keep it e-learning. Remember, the teachers union was trying to keep it e-learning and then it didn't get passed. So they had to go back to school. And then the kids were like, well, then we're walking out. And it's like, fucking walk out. You guys are already a hopeless generation anyways. Fuck them kids.
Yeah, well, I kind of have a little bit of faith just because, you know, there seems to be like a tendency in young people to be against the norm.
Like, I know, but against the norm right now is left-wing politics. And it's been like that for a while, you know, and that kills me. Being against the norm is being against the right now. That's what the norm
I mean,
is.
Like,
it's like rage against the machine. It's
That is the norm, though. Like, the norm is being against the right. And I think a lot of kids, like, because they just went so hard on this COVID stuff. And I don't think I don't think high school kids are scared of COVID, generally speaking. I just don't think a lot of them
are. I'd agree with that.
Or worried about it. So I think there might be somewhat of a resistance to this. Now, I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating. But
I don't fucking know any. Well, actually, I know a couple, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, like, I just has a couple and I just know they're kind of like, whatever. They don't give a shit about Omicron or any of these other variants.
And I just have people like I know here that have kids in school and they're like their parents generally here aren't worried about it. And the kids,
you're allowed near the school.
No, I'm looking. I'm using my binoculars. And they still got mask on.
Fucking staking it out from the bar across the street.
Well, you know what's funny story really quick,
you're allowed at that bar. It's next to the school.
It's right next to the school.
It's
but
literally
next
to the school.
There was funny too because I was here on New Year's and I went out to the bar and there was a lot of like older dudes that were like I would say probably in their 40s that were dating like girls my age, so in their mid-20s.
Nice.
And I was like, man, I just gotta wait. My girl's in third grade right now.
I just gotta hang out.
I just gotta wait a little bit.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
Until it's respectable and everybody gives me props. Right now they don't give me props.
Yeah.
But,
and in small towns, the age of consent gets a little blurry. you know, there's not a lot of us here. So
yeah, age of consent gets a little bit blurry in small towns. Incest gets a little bit blurry in small towns.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you start getting to like third, fourth cousin, people look the other way, man.
You need to get the fuck out of that small town type, though. You need to get the fuck out of there. I'm just gonna say that right now. I think that's a good place to end it. That's a good place to end it on typos, shenanigans. Yeah, I mean, this year's gonna be fucking crazy. Can't wait to continue to make content. Typos got some episodes recorded with some cool people that are gonna be coming out. I'm gonna start recording some. I still don't know what the fuck I'm gonna call mine. Have you decided on a name for your little show?
Into the Madness.
Into the Madness. I was thinking about I'll Talk to Anybody. Like, I was thinking that's like what my show's name was going to be. I think it's a little wordy.
Yeah.
I need to cut it down a little bit. I can't spell all those words.
Talk Anybody. With anybody. No, conversation's
a big word. That's conversation too big. So I don't know. I'm going to think about something like that. I kind of just want to talk to like the most outlandish people ever, not like conspiracy outlandish, but like I could have
those guys too.
Well, yeah, no, those people too. But I mean, like, I want to be able to have, you know, you and I are both the type of people that we can literally talk to anybody. Like, I can sit there and have a conversation with fucking anybody. Like, I will sit there and talk to the leftist of the lefties.
Yeah.
And be like, and they usually have a good time talking to us. Like, they're not like, they usually talking to us.
We've reached out to a few different lefties. I mean, I'm talking like straight fucking communist lefties. They don't want to come on.
They don't respond.
Our show. They don't
respond, or they don't.
And these guys are not the people. Yeah, the people we reach out to, it's not like they're much bigger than us. Like, maybe some of them are slightly bigger, but relatively about the same sizes. So it's not like we're reaching for the stars here. But people, like, the reason it's easy for us to get like libertarian type people is because they're the only ones that are, and maybe right wing type people, because they're the ones that respond to us.
Yeah, the left side doesn't. So maybe if we can, you know, rebrand both of our shows to, because yours is kind of like more of an internet personality type show, and then I think I'm just gonna find anybody to talk to, and like, whether it's sports,
go find someone off the street, dude.
Well, I kind of want to talk, just start
seriously
just start talking to like some random person on the street. What do you think about Kamala Harris?
Yeah, and let them do most of the talking, and then like let them get it all out and be like, oh, you're on the right path, oh, you're almost there, no you're off base, this is getting out of hand.
And just kind of like joke around with it. So if you have people that you're pretty sure they'll talk to anybody, they just want to get whatever is off their chest, send them my way. I'm gonna be starting that up. I need to figure out a name, but I kind of want to keep it with the general idea of like, it being a very open show. Like, I'm just interviewing people. I'll knock back. Like, I'm not going to sit there and just, you know, oh yeah, I agree with you. And when it's something I completely disagree with, but I think it's going to be something like that. Maybe I'll focus specifically on something, but I don't really want to. I kind of want to keep it open. I want to interview those. There's a couple of Strike Force guys that follow us now, some MMA guys that follow us now, and I kind of want to talk to those guys. Our boy, yeah, that'd be cool. Our boy that follows us on Instagram, he lost on the 30th. He lost in the it was a grappling match. It wasn't it wasn't like his road to the belt for, I think it's Strike Force. I may be wrong on that, but he did an event. And I know he lost it was just grappling though. It was just grappling, and he's a big ass heavyweight fighter. So it'd be kind of cool to talk to him. So I might try to do that. Maybe we'll do that on this show. That'd be interesting too. See how he feels about things. But we're going to try and bring out some extra episodes for our Patreons first. And then it's going to come out everywhere else, probably a few months down the line. And our Patreons get the,
yeah. We're all, oh yeah. That's another thing. I think we should just tell people that it's because we have already decided on it, but we are going to do another and we have a, so our Patreon set up to where we have $2 you can get in our Discord, and then we had a $5 and $10 level, but we never offered anything. We just kind of threw it out there for anyone.
Yeah.
And I think we decided that, so our $10 level is Mongoose, and we're going to start releasing one episode a month, and that's only for the Mongoose tier on our Patreon.
Yeah.
So we're going to start doing that. We'll probably get, you know, we might have guests on for that. Might just be me and Luke, but it's not going to be exactly the same going over hot topics and stuff. But I think
it'll probably be more like, I don't know. I think that one's going to get a little bit dark. Like that one's going to be dark humor to the max. Like that one's got to be, it's got to be something to be worth that $10. So
yeah. I think that's what we should be. We'll get Jared on for the first one or something and just fucking go down some dark paths immediately. <Yeah. laughs>
we'll just delve into Jared's dreams. Like what makes you wake up crying and then just make fun of him for it for a whole hour?
Yeah. 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 So that's what I like it.
All right. Well, that's the fucking shit show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Typo, you got anything? Any last words?
Nope. Fucking new episode of my show coming out soon. Luke's going to do his. I fucking love you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. See you guys next week. We out.